Welcome to Inside Scoop with Sean Emery, where we will continuously bring you closer to companies, sectors, and themes. This recording should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as a substitute for personalized individual advice from Avery & Company. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies mentioned. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed.
Alrighty, just wrapped up Blocks Investor Day, formerly known as Square. We've been part of this story for many years now, and it's pretty magical what took place over the last 5 years and just listening to the story today and all the progress that's been made, both financially and product-wise, the ecosystem expansion. I think, again, the only word to use is somewhat magical. It's anytime there's an Investor Day, we step back and we ask ourselves, we go through like a certain framework, which is, what is our original thesis here? It doesn't have to be an investment that you already have. It could be a new idea. Kind of, what's your generalized thesis? And throughout the entire presentation, I think you want to have that as kind of the guidepost in terms of what they're saying versus almost what you're expecting. Not only today, but again, if you're a long-term investor, I think you have to think about where this company is headed. In most cases, there's something new that is presented, whether it's from a economic financial perspective or from a product announcement perspective, and again, highlighting some of that. So today, what I wanted to do quickly over kind of a 7-minute window is highlight what is the company trying to convey. I think that's ultimately what you're trying to do as well, is understand what they're trying to convey and does that make sense? Number two, what are the big announcements that you think help drive the future of this business and how meaningful are they? And then three, just going through all the different announcements that may be not new, but encouraging in terms of direction of the business. So I think the very first takeaway in terms of what Amrita, Jack, and the whole team there were trying to convey today was that there are multiple very distinct ecosystems that work somewhat independently, but that these ecosystems are starting to converge. So I think you have the Cash App ecosystem, you have the Square Seller ecosystem, you have now the Afterpay ecosystem with 20 million customers and 120,000 plus merchants, global in nature. You have the potential creator ecosystem. And I say potential because, again, this is an emerging opportunity that they're trying to capture and providing the tools for creators, specifically in the music industry. And then you have the kind of Bitcoin ecosystem where they're trying to build out a layer of infrastructure from kind of the hardware to mining, to becoming a platform for software and developers, and then kind of connecting that to their other ecosystems. So that's kind of where I think directionally or mentally they want us all to be, is here's a lot of ecosystems that are converging. I think if you go back 5 years ago, when we were looking at this story originally, or even before that, we probably would have assigned a lower than 50% probability that these ecosystems could truly converge. You know, it's hard to kind of converge different product lines that are distinct and different and branded differently. And today, I'd say that it's becoming a reality where you're already seeing Seller, Square Seller, kind of the point of sale, payroll, and some of the other product offerings that are inside of Square Seller, combining and overlapping with Cash App, where you have loyalty and rewards already connected. You have payroll from Square Payroll and other payroll providers instantly depositing into Cash App. And you have the Afterpay, which is the commerce engine, which is kind of one of the things that's been lacking throughout the years, which is how can you provide commerce kind of capabilities inside of Cash App and then also provide kind of different checkout capabilities in terms of like buy now, pay later inside of Square Seller. So I think the number one takeaway that they wanted us to walk away was essentially that there's these ecosystems of ecosystems. Number two, it's the discipline that they have. And I think they're bringing that up, obviously, because they have these emerging areas, such as creators, specifically in the music space, and then the Bitcoin side, around understanding that they've built out Cash App very prudently, balancing both very high growth, but also doing so in a profitable manner. And then also Square Seller, which is their most mature products, where that has grown wonderfully, obviously, over the last decade. But also, they've done that in a very prudent way, where there's actual metrics that they use to really drive their investment dollars. As investors, I think that's ultimately what you always want. So again, the key takeaways that I think they wanted us to have were that these ecosystems of ecosystems continue to develop and converge. And then two, that they build out these ecosystems in a very prudent manner. I think discipline was mentioned many times throughout the entire piece. Now, second part of it in terms of an investor day is, what were the big takeaways? I think the two biggest takeaways have to do specifically with Cash App. The number one takeaway or number one big announcement that I thought was awesome was the Cash App buy button basically being put into apps like Shein, Dick's Sporting Goods, ASOS. They rattled off like 10 different very large merchants that are now going to have a Cash App buy button inside of their application. What that ultimately means is potentially more purchasing volume using Cash App, again, connecting the Cash App ecosystem to the merchant ecosystem. Kind of what's important here is most of those merchants are originally probably partnerships and relationships with Afterpay. And that's the important part of kind of this cross convergence that's happening between the ecosystems, where it doesn't even have to be necessarily that the two the applications are working in tandem, which again, they outlined how those two will come together. But it's more about the relationships, where Afterpay has a massive merchant base of merchants that have gross merchandise volume well above kind of tens of millions of dollars. In some cases, I think they mentioned hundreds of millions of dollars. And again, Dick's Sporting Goods and Shein. Shein is like one of the number one apps right now in shopping and in the App Store. So getting that relationship is hard to do and important to have once you're there. So Cash App is now a buy button. So think of the PayPal checkout button. Think of the Visa, MasterCard, Apple Pay. Cash App now has a buy button. Important because there's 40 plus million users using Cash App actively on a monthly basis, 80 million on an annual basis they highlighted. So that is a pretty important announcement. Second main takeaway goes back to Cash App. Again, this is arguably the most exciting thing inside of Block today, even though there's a lot of exciting things in my opinion, is the Cash App design changes. So once again, they highlighted a series of design changes, highlighting the tabs. So if you did watch the Investor Day, there was a section where they were showing the tabs at the bottom on Cash App and how there was maybe five different sections, call it a send money, spend money, invest. The important part there is they basically said that they're running out of real estate space to add new products. So there's two ways to look at this. Obviously, is they're very thoughtful about design, clearly. That's one of arguably one of the best things they do. But two, I think what it ultimately signals is that the product announcements on a go-forward basis are going to be pretty extensive. I think the product roadmap has to be extensive if you're thinking about how do we design an application that has flexibility in terms of the amount of products that we can launch, where things can be found easily. In like a perfect world, I think from a high level, and you're thinking like pie in the sky is, can this become the super app? I think they have the highest chance of becoming maybe what we all think of the super app, specifically in the US. It may not mimic and resonate to the same extent as some of the super apps you see in Asia, but a super app in the form of whoever's on the app and kind of all the capabilities. But at one point, Amrita highlighted or talked about insurance. She really just said it in a very brief statement, but there was definitely a different tone that was struck. And again, it's one of those things where you think about optionality, what can be embedded inside of a financial app. They also showed some of the design changes. They showed a discovery page where there's commerce activity going on in there. And they talked about how Afterpay could merge with or their commerce engine in terms of all the merchants that sell inside of Afterpay, using that and kind of transferring that same kind of commerce engine into Cash App. In addition to the images that they showed, which show kind of financial budgeting. So ultimately, the big takeaway there is that the design changes that were communicated, I think, signal that they have a much larger vision within Cash App itself for both Cash App consumer users, but also Cash App business users. So I think that's super important. Now, the rest of the presentation, and again, it's 5.5 hours, so there's so much to talk about, but we're just trying to hit some of the key takeaways, is the market opportunity. So if you go back 4 or 5 years ago when they first had their their prior investor day, the size of the overall opportunity for the company was in like the 50-60 billion range. And this was using a total addressable market, which is their opportunity set based on products that they don't even have yet. Today, what they call the serviceable addressable market, which is the products they have today that could fulfill the opportunity sets that are potentially in front of them, equates to roughly around 200 plus million or billion dollars in gross profit dollars coming both from Square and Cash App. Now, I'll just quickly line up some of the key takeaways from both those segments is Square's opportunity set, they lined up to $120 billion in gross profit dollars. They capture around like 2% of that market share today. So still pretty low penetrated from an opportunity to gross profit dollar standpoint and still growing fast, obviously. But again, leaning on four different key areas, which is omni-channel capabilities. I think if you go back several years ago, I think one of our big questions was, can they truly become an omni-channel platform, or is this really a brick and mortar solution where they acquired Weebly for website development and things like that? That's now called Square Online. And can they really make traction in both the online and offline world? And I think when you start to look at some of the numbers they threw out there, you're seeing real traction. I think COVID and the pandemic helped accelerate some of the usage of their online tools. So there's real traction there. So I think, again, when we asked ourselves, can they get there several years back? I think the answer is definitively yes, specifically now with the Afterpay acquisition, which again allows some of the merchants to sell online and use kind of all these different tools that are now have been built over the last couple of years. Upmarket opportunities. So moving upmarket, I think one cool announcement was it's already known, but the SoFi Stadium, in terms of just really thinking deeply about what that signals. You know, SoFi is a fintech and it's SoFi Stadium, and Square Seller is essentially powering that whole commerce experience at the stadium. I think that says a lot about where they are in terms of capabilities and trust from big a business. So it does prove that they can continue to go up market. On their last earnings report, they did highlight some key metrics that continue to show the progression of moving up market. So a lot of big wins there. Financial services for sellers. So again, they got their bank charter a year ago or 2 years ago, and they've progressively been trying to accelerate the tools around banking, Square loans. Obviously, Afterpay is a buy now, pay later solution. They gave us the economics around how that works. Pretty interesting model. And then lastly, for Square Seller is global expansion. So this is another question we always had was, can they truly go international? You know, there's typically local or regional winners in any category of any industry. And it's pretty hard to go international. Yet what we're seeing now, specifically with the Afterpay acquisition, is Afterpay has a really strong base of international usage, both on the consumer and merchant side. And that ultimately is kind of the gateway towards more international. They've launched, I think, six new countries over the last 12 months and three over the last kind of several months. And I think that's an important distinction and ability to continue to move international. If you look at their international growth on their earnings reports, that's growing much faster than the core business. So again, emphasizing the international expansion, they do have this ambition again of, and I'll shift over to Cash App, of going global and having this kind of payment network that they're building out specifically for Cash App. Cash App's market opportunity they laid out is $70 billion in gross profit. You know, one key stat that they did highlight here was 71% of users or inflows into Cash App are from Gen Z and millennials. So if you're truly trying to think about the future, where future consumption is coming from, it's really from this cohort or this age group. And they have a meaningful share there. They highlighted a chart where they originally started, which was southeast of the United States. And they showed the chart of how they've expanded essentially nationally. Again, this is 80 million annuals. And then you have 40, 50 million monthly active users, 10 million plus using the actual physical cash card, which is a debit card that can be used in physical stores. So that's pretty interesting. Now, they did assign different growth initiatives, one around commerce. So we know that they're going to continue to design and create the Cash App solution with a commerce focus. So that's where Afterpay again comes in. 120,000 plus merchants. You have Square Seller merchants as well. There's some overlap there. And they'll be able to add some of those capabilities inside of Cash App. Modern credit solutions. So again, they have their own loans and borrowing capabilities and being pretty prudent in terms of how they underwrite and kind of going slow and steady. But then Afterpay obviously is the buy now, pay later. It's the number one, two, or three leader in terms of buy now, pay later in the world, behind some others, Klarna being the kind of the big one. And just continuing to think about how can they modernize credit solutions. Bitcoin adoption inside of Cash App. You know, there's so many things to talk about there in terms of not necessarily what you believe around Bitcoin, but more so what does it mean to the Cash App ecosystem. So 10 million users within Cash App have already used Bitcoin since launch. Now, ultimately, the important part of this product offering inside of Cash App is that it drives engagement and it drives inflows. So they gave us the mechanics or algorithm for how Cash App grows. It's more monthly active users. That's obviously known. That's something we track. Number two, it's inflows per user and continuing to build out product solutions that drive inflows, whether it's instant deposits from your checks each month, whether it's Cash App Business where you're actually receiving inflows and different types of mechanisms, whether it's stock trading, where you're driving inflows into Cash App. So as investors, you essentially want to think about what are the different mechanisms to drive inflows. And when they launch a new product, is that an inflow driver, an active user driver? So you have new actives times inflows times the monetization rate in terms of the percentage. And that ultimately is what drives the gross profit dollars of that business. It's pretty straightforward and it's kind of the algorithm you would think about before. But again, it's how they think about driving the business, which I think is the most important thing is understanding how they're thinking about it as opposed to how we're thinking about it. The other two ecosystems, music creators, Bitcoin ecosystem, I'll be light there because they're still early. So it's more of a wait and see. It's kind of how it was when we originally were invested in Square and Cash App was first developing. It was kind of like, okay, there's clearly this opportunity here. Can they execute? And let's look at key metrics to figure out, are they executing? Music creators, again, it's around creators and providing artists tools and thinking about music rights and what that ultimately means. And then Bitcoin, it's around self-custody. They have their hardware wallet that they're developing. Remember the team there that developed the hardware at Square for Square Seller originally was part of the Apple kind of iPhone development as well in terms of the physical product. Beautiful products. Square's products have historically been beautiful. So we should assume that the hardware solution here will be pretty compelling as well. And they're also focused on identity management. I think that's all, honestly where a lot of kind of blockchain related solutions where you can really create utility. I think for us, it's all about utility and it's all about consumer experience. I think Square or Block as a company really hits really well in terms of punches above their weight in terms of consumer experience, but they also punch above their weight in terms of developing utility. So I think they're well positioned to unlock something in that specific ecosystem that they're trying to build out. And then Afterpay, they highlighted Afterpay. One unique aspect of Afterpay is the merchant. So the merchant that is on Afterpay is essentially paying for, or is the revenue, right? So it's not necessarily the consumers that are taking out these kind of buy now, pay later offerings. And it's the merchant that's paying 2-4% to Afterpay. And that's how they monetize it. Because essentially what they are doing is driving lead generation to these merchants. And then the consumers are feeling more comfortable because they can break up a $100 transaction into four payments for free. Now they have clear risk management protocols in place where if someone doesn't pay for the first time, they're essentially cut off or frozen in the ecosystem for the time being. I think 95% of all customers pay within the first 4 weeks in terms of that free period. So there's a lot of historical references because Afterpay has been around for a while in terms of how people consume and spend. So big picture, again, going back to the key takeaways here is just simply really around the Cash App redesign. You know, I think it's really important that they provided the return on investment dollars for some of these ecosystems. So they emphasize, again, discipline around spending, the cost to acquire customers. So Cash App is 6x ROI over 3 years. Square Seller has really strong economics as well in terms of the payback period. Both of those companies are profitable on a fully adjusted burden basis where they take all the respective costs to those two ecosystems. So Square Seller, I think, is in the mid to high 30-something profit margin percentile, and Cash App is in the teens. That's an important metric that they gave us, which highlights their most mature ecosystem is highly profitable. Their second most mature and fastest growing ecosystem is profitable and growing. And then as they continue to build out these other ecosystems, that they're going to take the same approach. So that's really it. You know, I could keep going on and on around this. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. But I think big picture, that should be the big takeaway, is Square Seller continues to mature, get bigger, get with bigger sellers. Cash App continues to grow really fast. And the app redesign signals that there's more in the pipeline in terms of product roadmap. Impressed with just the cadence of what they're doing in all these ecosystems, the discipline in terms of profitability of those two ecosystems. They have $7 billion of liquidity availability in terms of financial power as a business. And then there's interesting dynamics around Afterpay. Clearly 20 million customers on the platform, 120,000 merchants, international in nature, a very strong platform and team that's still, again, it was part of the investor day. And then you have the two emerging ecosystems that there's not much to talk about there other than ideas and some of the traction they're getting. But big picture, that's more of a nice to have, and we'll watch those over time. And hopefully, as they have with all their other ecosystems, successfully built those out into a meaningful way. So the cross convergence of ecosystems, the big takeaway, the discipline around developing these ecosystems, the big takeaway. And that's really it. I mean, there's more to talk about, but again, we'll leave it there. And next time they report or have an investor day, we'll get back. All right.